So as I'm sure we are all aware, this is the last Sunday of the year. In fact, it's the final Sunday of the decade. So let me be the first to wish you all a happy new year. Yes, 2020 is upon us. With a whole new year to remember when we write our checks and when we fill out forms. I know I'm going to be crossing out a lot of things. It's an adjustment, right? It's hard to fathom the end of a decade. Do you remember what you were doing in 2010, 10 years ago? Maybe it seems like a short time to you. Maybe it seems like a long time. I remember 10 years ago, Evelyn and I had just gotten married. Now we have two children. Where does the time go? So I wanted to talk about that a little bit this morning. Time, I know that sounds like a very abstract and kind of thing, but I think in a practical way, we can learn about time, how we can honor God with the time that He has given us as we enter a new year, a new decade. For those of you who are younger, that's actually a clock. I know we're used to seeing it on our phones now, but yeah. It's said that time is precious. It's fleeting. It flies when we're having fun. It heals all wounds. It's of the essence. It's on our hands. It can be spent, or it can be wasted, or it can be saved. It waits for no man. But what is time? In our Western culture, we tend to think of time as a linear thing, a line that we are constantly moving forward along until we reach the grave. But did you know that not all cultures conceive of time in this same way? Some cultures don't even have language for past or for future. It's like they're always living in the present. And to complicate things further, we have Einstein's theory of relativity, which suggests that maybe time isn't as constant as we think, depending on the circumstances. But that's beyond my pay grade, so I'm just going to put that on the shelf. So I'm certainly no expert on time, but it is interesting. And there's a lot that I don't understand, maybe you as well. But what about the biblical perspective of time? Well, time is a created thing, created by God, and God is not subject to time. He is eternal. 2 Peter 2:8 says, for the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. Try wrapping your mind around that. We can't, because we're finite beings, at least in this realm, in these decaying bodies. However, the gospel truth is that for those in Christ, we are promised a new life that will have imperishable bodies and, in fact, an eternal existence. And I would argue that as God's people, God's eternal kingdom, we can live from the perspective of eternity here on earth, as it is in heaven. And with this perspective of our time, this can help us to live lives that more greatly glorify God here and now. So the New Testament, which was written mainly in Greek, it has two words that it uses to convey the concept of time. The first one is chronos. Chronos is the concept of measurable linear time that we are familiar with. It's minutes and seconds and days and years. It's the reason that we can say a decade is coming to an end. It's as regular and predictable as every sunrise and sunset. And chronos is the proverbial ticking of the clock. That's where we get the word chronological from. Now, in Greek mythology, Kronos was represented and personified as the deity Kronos, the god of time, a titan, the powerful being who is destructive and all-devouring. It's claimed he even ate his own children. And here's a picture of Kronos, probably one of the less gruesome ones I could find, and I guess he's being presented one of his children to eat. And he's depicted with the sickle, a tool for cutting things down. So I suppose that kind of represents the all-consuming and merciless passage of time. This thing, all things devour. Birds, beasts, trees, flowers, gnaws iron, bites steel, grinds hard stones to meal, slays king, ruins town, and beats high mountain down. You may recognize this riddle from Tolkien's book, The Hobbit. It's from the scene where Bilbo and Gollum are exchanging riddles. And of course, the answer to this riddle is time, Kronos time, to be more specific. The Bible puts it like this in Psalm 103. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower in the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. It's a sobering thought. It teaches us to count our days. Kronos time is the reminder that life, and therefore time, is fleeting. It's a resource that's limited and growing scarcer every moment and every day. Moses wrote in the 90th Psalm, "Teach us to number our days so that we may gain a heart of wisdom." So his perspective is of one who is finite and temporary before a God who is eternal. He rightly sees that time is a gift from God. We need to make the most of each moment to live before God in humility, because he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and we are just blips on the scale of eternity. So Kronos time helps us to remember that our lives as we know it are fleeting. Knowing that we only have a limited amount of time here brings to the forefront what some people call the tyranny of the urgent. And this, I'm sure you might be familiar with, it's all the tasks we need to get done, but we never seem to get through them because the day only has so many hours, and life always seems to get busier and busier. When you're in a rush, you can almost hear the clock ticking, can't you? Because there are just so many demands on our time. And we know intuitively that our time is precious. When we live according to that clock, we are living according to Kronos time. And much of the modern world lives on Kronos time, where, you know, your job starts at a certain time, appointments need to be made, schedules need to be kept, video conferences need to be arranged across multiple time zones. In other words, our world, as it is, needs Kronos in order to function. Kronos is part of God's good creation. He ordained it in Genesis 1, where he separated the light from the darkness and the day and the night. And the first cycles of which began to measure chronological time. Every day we are alive is God's gift to us. I suggest that our Kronos that he has given to us can also be our gift to God, our worship to God, when we intentionally use our time to glorify God. Now there's another kind of time described in the Bible, not Kronos, but Kairos. Kairos actually shows up more than Kronos in the New Testament, 86 times compared to 54 for Kronos. And rather than a measurable linear concept of time, Kairos can be understood as a divinely chosen moment, a season, an opportunity, a fitting time, or an appointed time. And Kairos is what I really wanted to focus on today. Because God seems to work in Kairos time. Kairos is often used to describe the moment when God breaks into the human experience. When Jesus announced and inaugurated his ministry, he said, the time, or the Kairos, is at hand. The kingdom of God has come near. Later on, when Jesus had been rejected by the Jews and he was about to be arrested, he laments and prophesies judgment on Jerusalem, saying, "You did not recognize the time or the Kairos of God's coming to you." When Kairos comes, we need to recognize it. We need to seize it, because that's where God is often at work. We just celebrated a Kairos moment with Christmas. Galatians says that when the time had fully come, God sent his son born of a woman. The crucifixion of Jesus was also a Kairos moment. It says in Romans, at the right time, at the right Kairos, Christ died for the ungodly. Kairos is God's dimension, and he seems to break into our Chronos time, not when we expect it, but always just at the right time. We need to be paying attention to recognize it. We can't set our clocks to Kairos or put it in our calendar. Kairos can't be planned. It requires patient waiting and watching. Many miss out on God's Kairos, like the Jews at the time of Jesus. We don't want to miss out what God is doing. We don't want to miss out on his Kairos. And perhaps, likely, most of you have never heard this word Kairos this morning, but I bet you have some sense of what it is, even without using that word. Maybe you refer to it as God's timing or holy moments. Maybe in worship or in prayer or sharing Christ with an unbeliever or simply walking in the woods in awe of God's creation, you get a sense of this. In certain moments like these, chronological time just seems irrelevant, and we step out of Chronos into Kairos. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, wrote, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of the time, Kairos, because the days are evil." Now that we know what Kairos is, how do we make the most of it? First, we need to recognize it. We need to be attuned to Kairos by the Holy Spirit. Be more attentive to what God may be saying or doing in any situation. One way to do this is through prayerful listening. If we sense God is at work in a moment, we should be willing to change our plans and adjust to what he is doing. It's all about being present in the present. And I, for one, am someone who struggles with that. That's a confession. I get too caught up in Chronos, the tyranny of the urgent and what needs to be done. I need to be more present in the moment for you, for my wife, for my kids, and especially for God. In this coming year, I want to get less caught up in Chronos and more attuned to God's Kairos. It's said that in Chronos, we count our years, but in Kairos, we make our years count. And I've read that Kairos described as the eternal now. I think maybe that's how God sees things. Paul, again, in a second letter to Corinth, writes, I tell you, now is the time, the Kairos of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. I guess it's sort of paradoxical, but that now is just as much now, today, as it was on the day when Paul put pen to parchment and wrote it. Today is still the day of salvation and God's favor, even after 2,000 years. That's God's kairos, God's timing. Likewise, the author of Hebrews writes, today, if you hear God's voice, do not harden your hearts. The author of Hebrews was himself quoting a psalm written hundreds of years earlier. And my point is that today applies to this today, December 22nd, 2019, just as much as it did when Hebrews was written and when the psalm was written. So why is that? It's because Kairos is not measured in hours and days and years, but by God's will and his plans. To make the most of Kairos, we need to be willing to accept, submit, and live under God's will and his sovereignty. One of the meanings of Kairos is opportune moment. Hence, some translations of Ephesians 5:16, instead of saying make the most of the time, says making the most of every opportunity. Kairos is opportunity. It's opportunity because today is still the day of God's favor and salvation. If you have yet to heed his call, don't harden your heart, because his kairos is here for you today. If you have heard his voice and heeded his call, as I know many of us have, we need to use this opportunity to make sure the message is being proclaimed. His grace has extended this kairos time of favor and salvation so that people could hear the good news that Jesus has died for sinners and has come to give us life because he is alive. We need to make the most of kairos opportunities because as Ephesians 5:6 says, the days are evil. Chronos, like all creation, is fallen and corrupted. Death is at play. And more broadly, human hearts are turned against God. I don't need to convince you that the days are evil. We see it all around us. Sin is a rampant disease, but God, in his goodness and sovereignty, will only allow it to plague the earth for so long before he intervenes. This kairos time of grace will be replaced by one of judgment. But until that day, it is our calling as Christians to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and freedom to all the captives. I remember when I was in school, sometimes if you were late with an assignment, if the teacher was kind, they might extend to you an extension called a grace period. And sometimes if you're late repaying a loan, you might get a grace period to repay the loan without penalty. Well, we are right now in a grace period in God's kairos, one which he extends to all of us so we can hear and heed his call for salvation. Paul writes in Romans 13, and do this, understanding the present time, kairos, the hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than it was when we first believed. How do we wake up from our slumber? How do we understand and make the most of the time? Paul writes in the following verses that we should put aside the deeds of darkness and clothe ourselves with Christ. Paul teaches us that in regards to Kairos, God's time, we need to be wise. We need to wake up. We need to make the most of it. We need to be patient yet watchful so opportunities don't pass us by. I'm reminded of a man named Simeon in the Christmas story. Luke says that he was very devout and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Now, how long was Simeon waiting? Years? Decades? It really doesn't matter. That's just Chronos time. He finally got his Kairos moment in God's perfect timing when Jesus was presented at the temple as an infant. His life's desire was fulfilled in that moment. And how did this happen? Luke tells us that he was moved by the Holy Spirit. He was paying attention, Simeon. He was watchful, he was waiting, and he was in tune with the Holy Spirit. And like Simeon, God also gives us opportunities to respond to the Spirit's promptings. In particular, with the sharing of the message of God's salvation with the world. There is an urgency about it because this season, this Kairos of salvation and favor will not last indefinitely. That's why we need to walk and live carefully and wisely and make the most of time and opportunity. We will give account, I believe, of how we used our time. Did we use it to bless God, to bless others, to build his kingdom, to glorify God and share his good news? One last great Kairos moment will cap off this age. Paul writes in 1 Timothy of the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his time, his Kairos. Will you be ready? Will those around you be ready? I believe that our lives are filled with Kairos moments. And they aren't necessarily huge events like the birth of Christ or his return, but they are God-ordained moments, divine appointments, and opportunities. Kairos time is pregnant with purpose and possibility. A Kairos moment could be taking time to hear someone's story, or to be as Christ to a neighbor, to love your child or spouse or enemy, or to be lost in wonder in the worship of a holy God. Maybe it's God speaking to you in some way through the prompting of his Holy Spirit. Little moments where we sense God breaking into the routine of our day-to-day chronos, that's Kairos. Let's be paying attention. Now, chronos time, that's God's good creation, but it's fleeting. Let's use however much he has given us for his glory. But this coming year, I would challenge us to be more attuned to God's Kairos time. You may be surprised at the way that God is at work around us when we're paying attention. Keep in mind that things don't always happen when we want or expect in Kairos. God's ways are not our ways. He doesn't work according to a clock or a calendar, but his time is always the right time. Maybe you're waiting on God for something today. Maybe it's an answer to prayer. Remember that God's timing is not ours, but at just the right time, he will pierce through into our human story, just as he did at Christmas with a baby in a manger. God has placed eternity in the hearts of humankind, and I believe for us as Christians, even more so. God has granted eternal life through his son, Jesus. So we should be living from an eternal perspective, even here and now. That's Kairos perspective. As we live in this world, which marches to the beat of Chronos, as pilgrims and sojourners here, we long for God's eternal kingdom, which operates on Kairos time. Let's be watchful and waiting for God's Kairos time in our lives this coming year. Let's pray. Lord, we know that you are the Lord of time. Your ways are not our ways. We humble ourselves before you and say that we submit to your sovereignty. We know that your timing is always perfect. Help us to be paying attention. Help us to be watchful. Lord, we keep our eyes on you and ask that you would speak, you would reveal, you would lead in this new year. Thank you for giving us opportunities. Opportunities to represent you, to share your story and your love. And Lord, we look forward to the day when you come and set everything right. Help us to be ready. Help us to be watchful. Help us to be like Simeon in the Christmas story.